Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and we broadcast from the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Happy NAIDOC, you mob. Hope you're well and living strong, and add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. We go across the nation, like I said, thanks to NERS. You can text the brother 045-714-0550 or our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with our beautiful cousin Fiona Cornford, our Healing Foundation CEO, and see how they're travelling in regard to NAIDOC celebrations. Very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you. Yes, happy NAIDOC week.
Happy NAIDOC week. All the best to you, my darling. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Fiona.
Yeah, born and bred on Gimoy, and then spent a bit of time on Thursday Island. My mum was born on Thursday Island. She's a Seedon, Della Seedon's my mum. Mm-hmm. So Seedon's, Drummond's, Raymond's, all my family.
Beautiful, fantastic.
I'm Ngunnawal country now.
Lovely, sister. CEO of Healing Foundation, a beautiful space that you're working in. Tell us how your mob is celebrating NAIDOC there, my sister.
Yeah, we're fortunate every year around this time just to reflect on the intergenerational healing movement that our stolen generation survivors and their families lead out every year and advance and progress. So we've got a lot of heroes we're fortunate to walk alongside. Yeah. As they lead healing journeys.
Exactly. So we talk about celebration of NAIDOC, but in the space that you work in, Healing Foundation, for the trauma and atrocity that happened to our people and our elders, and moving into a space of celebration, but we've still got wombs we need to fix there, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that in NAIDOC, it's a safer space for us because there's a lot of collective healing that can happen when we prioritise some of our cultural activities, for example, and there are so many elements of our culture that have kept us safe and well for millennia, and we tend to take the time during this week just to be with each other, to talk through some of our pain but also some of our successes, and look at what are those things that keep us well and safe, and take the time to make those habit again.
Well, exactly. And when we're talking about Healing Foundation, how do people get in touch with you, Fiona? How do people and what sort of conversations and private, you know, confidential and what have you, but the support is there and the comfort is there?
Yeah, look, when it's about restoring family connections, our network of link-ups across the country, and stolen generation organisations across the country are there to offer that service. We're lucky to work with all of those organisations on the evidence, on the cutting-edge evidence. And what we do with that, our evidence-to-action work does end up on our portal, a healing portal, and you can access that through our website. We also have a lot of interactive tools on there. If people are looking for some truth-telling or contributing to truth-telling, we have an interactive institutions map, for example, that shows you all the reserves, missions and institutions across the country.
And we talk about generational trauma. So when we're talking about Healing Foundation, yes, for our elders, but as we are storytellers and pass on our information and our stories to our young ones, sometimes, well, generational trauma, they carry that pain and hurt with them as well. So there's also a space for the young ones coming through who carry that story, and it affects them in regarding the stories they've been told, yeah?
It does. And I spoke at the press club about this last month because we've done 4 years of work on it, basically, 20 years on from the Bringing Them Home report, which forewarned that this trauma would carry across generations.
Yes.
And it has. And our systems still fail to interact with us in a way that ensures that we do heal and we do recover from that trauma. But it's important for our young people to understand how trauma is a human experience. It's not a black experience. The origins of our trauma are from colonization, but there's we can manage that trauma and set it aside, because as human beings we can recover, but also those elements of our cultures that keep us safer and well. You know, the science and the medicine is only just catching up to our cultures.
Exactly.
And how it's served us through millennia.
Mm. So you also would look at Indigenous, non-Indigenous brothers and sisters who are not understanding the generational trauma. They don't walk in our shoes, so to speak. So it's about an education thing as well to try and get the message across to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters in regard to the hurt that we carry, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about the storytelling. We've done a lot of work over the years to document stories in a safe way and allow for those...
Stories to be spoken.
Absolutely. And through animations we try to we've got an intergenerational trauma animation that seems to hit people in the heart and the mind, so they change the perspectives. But what we know now is that you can change your perspective, but you've got to know how you contribute to healing. And that's what we did with this Make Healing Happen report and campaign launched last year. We want everybody, every Australian, every member of a workforce, a sector or a system to understand how they can contribute to healing every day. It's a big job.
Of course it is.
We ask for funding, more funding as well, but
How'd you go in that space?
Oh, we're still going.
Still waiting for the reply. It's in the in tray.
Exactly.
And money's a tool, and we need that tool to progress forward, Healing Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. The demand, like it's never been before. We know how many of us have been affected. 1 in 3. We removed ourselves or had a parent that was removed. So
yes.
Something needs to happen fast to meet with that demand of trauma recovery.
Exactly. And you got a head office, or your office around the country? How do you sit in regard to your office?
Yeah, look, we've faced common challenges through COVID, but our head office is at the base of Parliament, so we can speak to leaders as often as possible.
And face to face.
Yes, face-to-face. And then we've got a Darwin office, a Brisbane office, which is almost the same size now as our headquarters in Canberra. And then we've got some outposted offices in Melbourne and Adelaide as well. And we're looking at a presence in the WA in the very near future.
Fantastic. And how long have you held the reins for, sis?
It's been, it was a year in April.
Okay.
So, a little over a year. And, geez, it's gone really fast.
It has. And, look, heads up to you. You are out and about. I noticed I was part of the Casanam conference here in Cairns and Melbourne, and you represented there your team, which is fantastic. And that's what it's all about, by getting out there and letting people know that you are there and you're there to heal. We support our mob.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're an amazing workforce to work alongside. to support what they do every day directly impacts on our healing journeys as a people. And so, yeah, really, really amazing experience to work alongside with Katsunan.
Exactly. And the education, as I mentioned earlier, to talk with non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, because we're talking in the workspace as well, our people who go to work and, whether it be government or private sector, whatever case may be, if you've got a First Nation person at the table, they can be carrying the generational trauma. So it's about educating the workforce, as you mentioned, in regard to the space that we're living in, and sensitivity or education for the non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, business counterparts, government officers, to understand in regard to that conversation or respecting or flexibility to the individual in regard to their hurt or how it affects their job, their life. Yes.
And that's what we've discovered through our research, is that we, as a people, we've been very gracious and kind, and we've said, maybe if they learn more about our culture, there's more cultural awareness, systems will be less racist. That's what we were hoping.
Yes, and stamping out racism, it then becomes a tool in regarding understanding the healing process.
Yes, but trauma is a different thing. No cultural awareness can help you understand how trauma manifests in a person and in a community, and then let alone how you address it and resolve it. When you talk about Naidoc and our heroes, for example, our Stolen Generation survivors, they've created a school resource kit, and it's just a kit, and all the lessons are in there, and we've got, this year we haven't done a count, but in the first year of it being available, 13,000 downloads from schools.
Mm. Yes.
And the idea is that our young people, the future of those workforces, are exposed to those stories now, and they understand now, and they have the framing, the more accurate.
And that shows importance of starting young, putting it through our curriculum education, and teaching our young ones and the teachers there is, and as young ones get older, high school, what have you, they've taught it. They've been taught about the respect in the situation, the space that we live in. You agree? You there? Fiona not there? I just lost Fiona. We'll try and get Fiona back. Fiona is the Fiona Cornford, Healing Foundation CEO, and we're just talking about the celebration of NAIDOC and that fantastic organisation, Healing Foundation, and how they operate and what they do. So we'll try and get it back. We just lost it there. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, the daily number here is 1-800-422-416. I said live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We'll try with Fiona. Fiona, there, sis?
Yes, here.
How you just hang up on me like that? What's your problem? My sister, thank you. I was just saying in regard to the information of healing, that can start in the curriculum, education at primary school, high school, all the way through. That's another tool in regarding educating our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters in regarding the trauma and what we carry and how we can help mend it. Yep.
Yeah, look, and the feedback we're getting from schools is amazing. And things we didn't foresee, like non-Indigenous young people who are in out-of-home care are saying to our survivors, oh, can you be my uncle?
Oh, because beautiful,
I
yes.
I want to learn from you.
Exactly.
So there's some beautiful things happening in schools led by Stolen Generation survivors. After everything they've gone through, they still contribute to nation healing in this way.
Well, as we know, if you've got a problem, talking about it is the first form of medicine, and that's what Healing Foundation does, receive the stories, help people talk about it. It is a healing process, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And when you talk about, those workforces and sectors and systems, understanding that, like, all of those places have to be understanding places, and knowing about our culture is one thing, but understanding what holds us back, and it is this trauma burden.
Yes,
we didn't get a say in carrying it either.
Well, exactly.
there should be that empathy and compassion for us to overcome.
Too deadly. As always, beautiful talking with you, Cousin Fee. All the best to your deadly team and your family, of course. Big shout out there, Mum and Dad. Continue what you're doing, darling, and we'll yarn soon. Happy NAIDOC. And you're due to come back Cairns way soon, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Home calling for you, yeah?
I know. I've got country to return to too, so.
Yeah, and we should do lunch.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right, darling. All the best. We'll talk soon, Fee.
Thank you so much. Okay, see you.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn, Fiona Cornford, Healing Foundation CEO, and she's talking about the celebration of NAIDOC. Happy NAIDOC, you mob, and also talking about the space that she's working in and that organisation, Healing Foundation CEO, Fiona Cornford, talking about the work that they do and how they help our mob in regarding generational trauma and educating the wider community about the space that we live in. Have your say, Yarn Strong, add to the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
The country that I left abroad.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnum with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We're across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, 045-714-0550. You can text the brother or our keyboard warriors. Go on Facebook, BBM, 987 FM. I call it Big Face or Sook Book. Really don't care what you're eating. No, have your say. Give me a call. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Look, I'm going to catch up with my next guest. Come to join me, the opposition leader, Labor leader and member for Drainler. And that's Anthony Albanese. And a very good morning to you, my friend. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm pretty good.
What, rugged up there? Oh, well, got your jacket on?
Well, what's going on, mate? We're in Cairns.
Liquid sunshine. It's raining.
I was promised sunshine.
And they say perfect one day, lovely one day, perfect the next. Well, they lied, haven't they? I apologise about the rain, but it's warm rain, can I say that?
It is indeed. It's a lot warmer than Canberra, let me tell you, which is where I've been for the last couple of weeks. It's been cold. Very chilly. I don't think it ever gets to sort of -4, -6 here.
No, nothing like that. And I think the weather then there has a the weather has affected the Canberra Raiders. Because they're not doing good at the moment.
They're rubbish, frankly. Poor old Ricky Stewart, he's gonna have a heart attack. I have a red eye and a green eye.
Oh, you Rabbitohs.
I'm a former board member of South. I grew up and played in the South District when I was a kid, junior rugby league, and I became a member of the board in the 90s, fought to get us back in the comp. It's 20 years ago yesterday we won the court case against
to get the Rabbitohs back into the competition.
To get the Rabbitohs back in.
Yeah, good.
And we're going to win the comp this year.
Yeah, looking that way in
line. Premiership number 22.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic.
Big support from First Nations people.
Exactly.
And we... both off the field, but on the field as well, Latrell and
exactly. AJ New South Wales. You've got to be a New South Wales man, eh?
Absolutely, yeah. Although I do enjoy the quality of the footy in State of Origin, so I hope the third game is tight. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, it's not a dead rubber. They played to the full extent, so it's going to be a good game either way. Now, Mr. Anthony Albanese, let's talk about NAIDOC. Happy NAIDOC.
Happy NAIDOC week to you.
And you're here in the thick of things. We're celebrating NAIDOC here in Cairns. We had the NAIDOC breakfast yesterday morning at the Pullman Hotel. And big shout out to the Cairns NAIDOC team that did a fantastic job. So how are you celebrating NAIDOC? What's NAIDOC mean to you as the opposition leader, Labor leader, Mr. Anthony?
Look, it's just an opportunity to remind ourselves of how much work there is to do to give justice to First Nations people. And just a month ago, or a bit over a month now, I travelled to Uluru, met with the Central Land Council there with Linda Burney, our spokesperson, and to reinforce our commitment to the Statement from the Heart. And, of course, the issues that this NAIDOC week are talking about as includes truth and treaty.
Yes.
As well as a constitutionally recognised voice to the parliament. And it's an opportunity, I think, to celebrate how lucky we are to live with the oldest continuous civilization on the planet.
And we should embrace that as Australians.
It's just a wonderful thing. I was lucky enough to grow up, you know, around a community where a lot of the Indigenous people around Redfern were people I went to school with, I played footy with, and getting access to their culture at a young age and learning that respect. But as time's gone on, when I got elected to Parliament in 1996, the first committee I went on was Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Committee, and we had an inquiry into greater autonomy for Torres Strait Islanders, and it was an opportunity for me to get out and about away from my – I knew about the inner urban communities and their issues. But
sure.
To get out and about around the country, I was the Assistant Shadow Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs for a while. Mm. And that was a great learning experience. And what I've always found, and today's an example of that, is that First Nations people are so welcoming.
Sure, exactly.
They want to share their culture. And as a white fella, half Irish, half Italian.
You've got a bit of Paddy blood in you, have you?
I do. what a privilege it is to live in this country. We're in this studio here with this amazing artwork. Just around.
Well, storytellers, you know, and our culture is very strong to us and dear to us, but it's also a tool of education. It's a tool of proudness, you know, and it's a voice for our people. So when we're talking about closing the gap, you know, let's have that conversation, Mr. Albanese, in regarding closing the gap in all facets. Employment, housing, education. There's still a lot of gaps to be closed.
Life expectancy
is
still huge.
Of course. Exactly.
The issues of health care. We need to do so much. And the proudest moment I've had in the Parliament is being leader of the government in the House when Kevin Rudd issued the apology.
Yeah.
But that, of course, was a step.
Mm.
And the close the gap targets, some of them have been met. There is advance going. I'm not someone who thinks that you should be. I think you've got to be optimistic.
Mm.
And I've seen in my time in the Parliament, my caucus be joined by some great Australians in Linda Burney, Pat Dodson, and yes, Malandiri McCarthy. That's made an enormous difference to our operation there.
Well, exactly, and First Nation people at that level, look, we need more black successes, and that is a success in its own right, you know?
Absolutely.
And leading from the front, we need more of that.
Yeah, no, we certainly do. And a couple of weeks ago I had the privilege of having a chat with Kathy Friedman about her foundation as well and what she's doing to support educational opportunities for young Indigenous people, another great role model. Hopefully after the next election we'll have Marion Scrimgeour as the member for Lingari there in the territory, and have Denisha Duff as well as running against the LNP candidate to replace who's replacing Andrew Lamming. Another shocker of a candidate, frankly. And I think that Denisha has a good show there. She's a Torres Strait Islander.
Yes.
A woman and someone who's passionate.
Well, but like I said, we need more black success, but not only on the football field. When you look at the likes of, Michael Long, for example, who do the long walk, you know.
Absolutely.
He's retired since AFL, but using that
still
fame
making
as a tool, making a difference for our people, you know. You mentioned Kathy Freeman regarding the Freeman Foundation. It's so important that we put it out there and we use NAIDOC as a tool as well to educate the people of the world and moving forward in 21st century in together. We're in the same vehicle, heading the same direction, are we not?
Well, absolutely. And there's so much that we can learn as well from cultural practices and environmental practices.
Yeah, sure.
We've had the issue with the bushfires.
Yeah, backburning and all that.
You know, if we actually followed the way in which people lived here for at least 65,000 years in harmony with their environment, respecting their environment through backburning, through the way that they managed land and indeed water conservation as well.
Yes.
We can learn so much from First Nations people.
Well, when you talk about 60,000 years, we are professors in our own right on all industries.
Yeah,
you know, so take a page out of our book, so to speak, you know.
That's right.
So very important there. Let's talk about the vaccine rollout. I've just had a uncle ring from Weep on this show on Monday, and he's 65 years old, is in bad condition regarding his health. He's really scared because he hasn't had the vaccine, hasn't had the jab yet, and he's also kind of concerned about people who are not taking the jab. But the rollout is still a slow process, is what we're feeling.
this is a stroll out, not a rollout.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your words.
It's a shocker. We're last in the developed world. Stone cold last.
We should be leading from the front. We are first world nation.
We're under 10%. We should be doing much better. We're not in the top 100 of countries. And, you know, they didn't do enough deals with enough companies. Mm. They didn't do the deals fast enough. They're too slow and in enough quantity. And as a result...
So how do we give that push? How do we move that forward?
Hopefully they've been given a push because I think the lockdown in my home turf of Sydney and New South Wales is a real wake-up call that... it's just been extended for another week, by the way. So we're talking about a three-week lockdown in Australia's largest city and state. The consequences of that for jobs, for the economy,
exactly.
as well as for people's health, both physical health and their mental health as well. Well, Scott Morrison had two jobs this year. He had to fix the rollout of the vaccine and he should have set up national quarantine facilities. And he's failed on both.
And so there's still a lot of work to be done there. And, people are dying, work has stopped, people are losing their jobs. So it's just a snowball effect and they need to get their act together.
Yeah, and regarding your uncle, the fact that elderly people who were supposed to get access to the vaccine, we were told that every aged care resident, every aged care worker would all get the vaccine by Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're now in July.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're still struggling. Another case of an aged care resident, another aged care worker today testing positive to COVID. It's
an excuse that the government's giving you as an opposition leader?
Nah, there's no excuse. They said we're at the front of the queue. They're too busy patting themselves on the back.
High-fiving.
They are.
From a distance.
You've got to get the business done.
Old granddad used to say, well done is better than well said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Know? Well, a wise man.
Act on it. You're in far north Queensland here in Cairns. Our biggest industry up here is the tourist industry. We have struggled big time through the tourist industry regarding COVID-19, but also the year of Indigenous tourism, which they made it run again since 20 to 21, which is fantastic. That's a beautiful space. And look, the other hat I wear, Anthony, is the Dreamtime Dive and Snorkel. So tourism product with experienced co-taking tourists out to the reef to visit Nemo, diving, snorkeling with a cultural aspect. Now, we work closely with the four traditional owners on their sea, land, country. So the year of Indigenous tourism is fantastic, but we need support in the whole industry of tourism.
Yeah, that's right. I've just been at a place called Diver's Den here and talking with tourism operators there, and they're just really struggling. This should be the peak season.
Well, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, our international borders are still up. And one of the things that, there's great prospect for, I know internationally as well as domestically, is Indigenous tourism.
Yes.
People, when they come here, they want access to the culture and to that experience.
Well, exactly, yep.
And it can be a source of great economic activity. Tourism, I think, sometimes too, it's seen as a bit of a job that people might do casually or, you know, while they're at uni or what have you or during breaks. It's got to be seen as a career.
It's a robust career path, exactly, pathway. And people with their dive certificate, so to speak, or with their bus driver's license, driving tourists to the fantastic areas and activities we have
There's so much to offer.
It is a powerful industry as such in regarding employment, but also business opportunities. And like I said, exciting for First Nation people is the year of Indigenous tourism.
Yeah, well, there's such prospect here, you know, on the Cape, in the hinterland or around, you know, up at Caranda and around there, but also in the Torres Strait.
Of course, beautiful, yeah.
Torres Strait is extraordinary beauty. We need to make sure that that's protected.
Mm.
But I think there is more scope to have greater activity there. I know that when I was the minister, we provided some funding to extend the airport there, to fix up some of the facilities there, because you know, it's just a magnificent part of Australia.
It is. It is. When you're talking about Torres Strait, you're also talking about the global climate and sea rising. So we're talking about sea walls and what have you. Torres Strait Island are looking at it very carefully and concerned in a way. Well, what's the government doing in that space?
Some of those islands, of course, are basically coral atolls. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to visit York and some of the other islands that are pretty low-lying there. And that's why we need to deal with the challenge of climate change. We need to do it for Australia.
Yes.
But we also need to be part of the global effort at the moment. You've got Angus Taylor and Scott Morrison pretending that it's pretending they're doing well,
And global climate's non-existent.
Yeah, we're just pariahs too at those global conferences, and we have more to lose than most countries. We're a dry continent. We have pristine environments, be it the Great Barrier Reef, Kakadu, all of which are great assets for us.
Yes,
but if climate change does occur, if we hit 3-4 degrees, then they disappear, as well as rising sea levels already having a bit of an impact.
Exactly. Look, our elders speak about Mother Earth, and it's struggling, breathing, and that's what our elders are saying. So we need action there to let Mother Earth breathe, because it's where we live. It's home. So we need to nurture that space.
Absolutely, and if we do it, Mother Earth will pay us back.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Or look after us. There's all sorts of issues with regard to food and water supply, agricultural practices. You know, we just need to be smart about this and recognise that it is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. Because we have such abundant natural resources. There's no limit on the sun or the wind in using
let Mother Nature
renewables.
Do a bit.
That's why they're called renewables.
Exactly, renewables.
Like you dig up a lump of coal and you use it. It's done.
Sure, exactly.
Can't reuse it.
Yeah, and they're digging into this country, aren't they?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that leaves a legacy, which is why the shift that's on to renewables potentially as well creates jobs that lowers energy prices while looking after the environment.
Yeah, exactly. Three birds, one stone, so to speak. Look, fantastic. Thank you so very much for coming in, Anthony Albanese, opposition leader, Labor leader, member of Groenla. Thank you very much. All the best to you, and big shout out to your mob down there in Canberra, cold area, and welcome here anytime here at Bummer Bipper Media.
Thanks very much, and happy NAIDOC week.
Happy NAIDOC. All the best to you. Thank you very much. A deadly yarn, a beautiful yarn there with the opposition leader, and yarn about all the topics, talk about NAIDOC and vaccine rollout and year of Indigenous tourism, closing the gap, Uluru statement from the heart. We could have talked on for forever, and about a very good yarn, but they're the conversations that need to be had, and need to be actions behind those conversations. As I said, well done is better than well said. But a beautiful conversation, and add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We'll be right back.
giving up. This land was never bought and sold. The planting of the Union Jack never changed our law at all. Now two rivers run their course, separated for so long.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning service, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day
I'm gonna go.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, Big Yarny Circle. It is your mob. You can continue the yarn here on Facebook page, BBM 987 FM. Look at all our shots, our yarns, our photos, and communicate that way. Otherwise, text the brother, 0457140550, and the brother's the bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, and Murray from the Curry, First Nation and radio station here in Cairns, and I lead the program here, National Talk Black. It is your program, just steering the ship, your mob, so add to the conversation. But you may have to continue that yarn tomorrow. Murray going to sign off. You've got the news coming up here very soon with NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and take on the news, you mob. But look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Happy NAIDOC, you mob. Celebrate strong, deadly and hard. And love and respect our mob out there, and especially our elders. Look after our elders. And also with the pandemic about, take care and operate safely, you mob. We've got the news coming soon, but otherwise we'll be yarning soon. Thank you very much for your company. Too deadly.
When the Fitzroy River leaves King Leopold Ranges, it run down to the ocean, muddy and wide. Now the Bunuva people gone back to the country. In the morning they see old Milly Windy ride. There's lots of old stories been told about a people, about the land they lived in and how they survived. Like the days of the pigeon and the old generation, our legends still live like the old dream time. 'Cause the Bunuva people always stand by and listen to stories as the days go by. But now they're all leaving, there's no reply. But when they're all going, they'll say goodbye. Now the Bunuva people gone back to the country, where their old people live free and wild. But the Fitzroy River, it's always flowing, and always a water, it never run dry. The Bunuva people always stand by and listen to your stories as the days go by. But now they're all leaving, there's no reply. But when they're all going, they'll say goodbye. When the winter season comes again, the Bunuva people say it's merely windy ride. Yes, the Bunuva people say it's merely windy ride.
Jebana kolini, bardo yul janee.